And Holy Spirit, as we hear your word today, we pray that you remind us that we are all sinners and that we all need what you have given to us, Father, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, whose victory over sin, death, and the devil has set us free. And we know that if we are free, we are free indeed. In his saving name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, and after that brief and short children's message that John gave, you know, with the prop and nice and simple and to the point, now I understand why people say, hey, good children's sermon today, Pastor. You know, instead of, you guys didn't get that one, huh? Some people appreciate the children's sermon more than they do the regular sermon. Do I have an amen? Amen. Sometimes that's just the case. It's all right. Well, it was this past week, February 25th, I was doing my regular noon workout over here on East Charleston, and I was gathering around with the noon group that I usually work out with, a very interesting cast of characters from all walks of life. That's kind of what Vegas is made of, right? And also East Charleston, maybe in particular. And coach said, hey, you know, before we get up into our warm-up routines, I got a little exercise. I want you to look on the whiteboard behind me, and he said, what does that say? And the whiteboard said, go the extra mile, it's never crowded. And then he wanted each of us to say something about what that meant to us. So a few people commented on what that saying meant to them and their life and what was going on. And he goes, Brad, what does that mean to you? I said, well, most of you guys kind of know what I do for a living, so I'm not going to be politically correct. You know, today is Ash Wednesday, I said, and or tomorrow is, because this was February 25th, whatever the day was, and I said, you know, I'm very grateful and I'm very thankful that Jesus went the extra mile for me. You know, he died for my sins, and I'm a broken individual, got lots of flaws. He died for those, he shed his blood, and then he rose again from the dead. And I'm just so thankful that Jesus went the extra mile for me. Of course, I said more than that. I kept it short, though. And people just kind of went, you know, what are they supposed to say to that, you know? I didn't ask for an amen. But I thought, you know, I need to faith share once in a while when I'm around people who don't necessarily believe. Well, interestingly enough, the owner of the place said, hey, Pastor B, you quoted a verse in there. What was that verse that you quoted? I said, well, it was Joel chapter 2, verse 13. You know, it's Lent, and Joel, and she starts typing into Google on her laptop, you know, at the front desk counter. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. You know how I remember that? RG3. Anybody know who he is? You know, return to God, RG, that's what we want to do during Lent. And three things will take place. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Don't you wish that was the end of the sermon today? Yeah. Yeah, okay, thanks. It is going to be a short one, I promise. All three of our readings today, the one from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, the one from Romans, and the one from Matthew, what I love about them is that they all show God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit going the extra mile. So we see the fall of mankind, humankind, in Genesis chapter 3, right? And we see the devil in Genesis, and we see the devil in Revelation as well. It says the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he tries to mess with Eve first and Adam by saying, did God really say that you could not eat from the tree of life? And that's how God comes to us, or he empowers us. When the devil comes to us and says, did God really say that you can't say that, that you can't be about that, that you can't live that way, that you can really do this or that? Did God really say? And that's what the devil tries to do, plant seeds of doubts in our mind about the truth and the authority of God's word. Amen? Amen. And that's what he tried to do with Eve. You don't have to live according to God's will. You don't have to do it his way, because he knows that if you eat of that apple, your eyes are going to be open and you'll become kind of like him. And that sounded good to Eve, just like it sounds good to us when we have that little voice inside. Hey, you can do this. You can do that. It's okay. You can be your own God. You can do your own thing. You can go with the crowd. If it feels good, go ahead and do it. And so we know that Eve succumbed to the temptation, and she also gave some to Adam. He sinned as well. And then God comes looking for Adam. He's walking in the garden, the text says, in the cool of the day, and he starts asking rhetorical questions. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? As if God doesn't know where Adam is, and the fact that they're hiding out now. And Adam doesn't want to pick up the phone, you know, so God begins to leave a message. We do that sometimes too, right? Adam didn't want to pick it up. Caller ID says, it's God. I want to talk to you, Adam. Pick up the phone. But they had disobeyed. And so Adam didn't want to answer for it. And the Lord God said, it's a bad thing that you have done. Everybody's going to pay the price from here on out because of your disobedience. And the God starts dishing out punishment. And we get the very first promise of the gospel. Can you believe that? In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, is the very first promise of the gospel. I mean, every Christian should know that. If someone said to you, hey, where's the first promise of the Messiah? You know, that Jesus is going to come and redeem sinful people from the sins. Where is that? And you should be able to say, Genesis 3:15. Say that with me. Genesis 3:15. Because God said to the servant, because you have done this, you're going to crawl on your belly. I put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So basically, God is saying that the devil is going to rough up Jesus, tempt him for 40 days and 40 nights, as we heard in our gospel reading. But ultimately, the seed of the woman, who is Mary, Jesus is going to come. That's the seed from Mary, and he's going to crush the head of Satan. Genesis 3:15, the mention of the very first good news of the gospel. And then we move on to the book of Romans, and this is why I like having three different readings in church services. I'm okay, because plenty of churches have one scripture reading, and then the pastor talks for 30 or 40 minutes on that one reading. What do you think about that, folks? Oh, you want some of that, huh, Ron? Okay, just checking. You want that? Okay, we can do that for you. You like that? And here Paul is in Romans saying that just as through the one man, Adam, sin and trespass and iniquity came into the world, so through the one man, Jesus, came righteousness, forgiveness, and salvation. Isn't that great? So here Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, some people don't think Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he was writing his epistles and letters, but we believe he was inspired. We believe that this is the true word of God. Just through Adam, sin came into the world. So through Jesus, Adam was a type of Jesus, came righteousness. So Paul's confirming the creation account in Scripture. That helps us, doesn't it? Because we see the Scriptures being tied together. And that's why we use the lectionary, because typically there's a theme running through the Old Testament reading and the epistle reading, excuse me, and the gospel reading as well. Just want to make sure you are awake. And then we move on to the book of Matthew. And by the way, in the Romans reading, it's kind of cool because the word gift is used four times in the NIV. That word gift. And that's what faith is. And that's what salvation is. It's a gift from God. And if you get a birthday gift or you get a Christmas gift, someone gives it to you, you don't say, oh, no, you don't take that gift back. Don't worry about it. We say, hey, thank you for the gift. Personal touch, really appreciate it. Thank you very much for thinking of me. But not everybody accepts the gift. Some push it away and say, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to believe my own way. I'm going to go down my own road, and I'm going to hope it works out at the end of time in the wash. The ESV uses the word free gift four times. And I like that word free. It's one of my most favorite words in the English dictionary. How about you? It's a free gift. Can't buy it, can't earn it, can't pay for it. Nothing we can do. It was all God doing it in him through his son, Jesus Christ. Even when it comes to our salvation, we can't decide for Christ. Just as a dead man can't raise himself to life again, so somebody who is dead, spiritually blind in their trespasses and sins, according to them, they can't raise themselves to believe in Jesus, right? So why should we even think we can cooperate in our salvation and come to faith in Jesus? Because that would mean that his perfect life, death, and suffering, and resurrection, that the buck didn't stop with Jesus. We believe that God, the Holy Spirit, works saving faith, that he decides, that he adopts, that he claims, and faith is simply the hand that receives the free gift of God. Amen? So even when it comes to coming to faith, it's all God. And then finally, our reading from Matthew. Jesus, he's led into the desert to be tempted, right? Who leads him into the desert? It wasn't the devil. It was the Holy Spirit. After 40 days of fasting, he's hungry. According to his human nature, he was both true God and true man. He could have exercised his divine nature, but he didn't because he had a mission to fulfill. The Holy Spirit takes him out and tests him. Just like the Holy Spirit tested the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, they failed the test. But guess what Jesus did? He didn't fail. Free gift. His perfect life has become our perfect life by grace through faith. So when God sees us, he sees us not as a sinner, although we still are, and that's why we confess our sins in church and receive God's absolution. He sees us through the eyes of faith. So he sees us as a saint and his baptized children who are holy and dearly loved. Jesus passed the test for us. But life is difficult, isn't it? Man, there's struggles, there's heartaches, there's headaches, there's tough decisions to be made, there's quotas to be met, there's too much month left on at the end of each paycheck, and on it goes. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we remember the goodness of God, the gracefulness, the grace of God, the faithfulness of God, the perfection of Jesus, and his righteousness that was first given to us in our baptism or when we first believed, and his power and strength to help us each and every day. Maybe you've heard the story about the donkey who never gave up. One day a farmer's donkey had fallen down into a well, and the animal cried for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. And finally he decided the animal was old and the well needed to be covered up anyway, and it just wasn't worth it to retrieve the donkey. He invited all of his neighbors to come over and help him out. They all grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt inside of the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening, and he began to cry horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. A few shovel loads later, the farmer finally looked down the well and was astonished at what he saw. With every shovel of dirt that fell on his back, the donkey was doing something amazing. He would shake it off and take a step up. Amen? And the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt. As they continued to do that on top of the animal, you know what he would do? Tell me. He would shake it off and continue to step up. And pretty soon everyone was amazed as the donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and he tried it off. Life's gonna shovel some dirt on you. All kinds of dirt. The trick is to not get too bogged down by it. We can get out of the deepest wells by not stopping, by doing what Jesus did, never giving up, and going the extra mile. Remember that. that through God's word and sacraments, his lifelines, stay in the word. We're reading the one-year Bible together. Remember that you're a baptized child of God. Receive his two true body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine. Never give up and go the extra mile. Because Jesus did for you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.